B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Ayin Tes. We're going to start seven lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, Oyer Kedei Lasois Kemia, the amount of leather that a person has to carry on Shabbos to be Chayav is the amount that it takes to write an amulet. We saw that in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Ches Omud Beis. Boy Minei Rava Mirav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman a few questions, some of which are very straightforward, but he asked them in order to run up to the questions that are a little bit more complex. Hamoitzi oyer bekamo. How much oyer, how much leather does a person have to carry on Shabbos to be chayev? And Rashi says it's explicit in the Mishnah. But as we said, this is a run up to the further questions. So Rav Nachman answered, Omalei kedetnan. Like we saw in the Mishnah, Oyer Kedelas is Kamiya. As much as you need in order to write an amulet, that's how much you chayiv. It's called a significant melocha. Carrying that amount of oyer, of leather, of hide, is significant, and therefore you chayiv. The next question, Hama'avidoi bekamo. How much leather do you have to tan to be chayiv on Shabbos for tanning? Omer lei loishno. The same amount, because it's only because a person will typically tan the amount of leather that he can write an amulet on it, that's what gives that amount of leather, that amount of parchment, it gives it significance, and that's why carrying it is chayiv. Le'abdoi bekamo. What happens if this piece of oyer is not yet been tanned, and he's carrying it on Shabbos? How much untanned oyer, leather, do you have to carry in order to be chayiv? Omar lei, loishno. He answered him and said, it's the same, it makes no difference. Umino timra. What's your source that untanned leather has the same halachas as far as carrying is concerned as tanned leather, which means to say that since you could tan it, it's already significant, and the amount that you would tan is a significant amount of leather, is of oyer, and therefore carrying that amount, irrespective of whether it's already been tanned or not, is chayiv on Shabbos. Where do you find such a concept? Kedetnan, we saw in the Mishnah, hamelabein, if somebody whitens the wool, vamenapeitz, if somebody disentangles it, vatzivea, if he colors it, he dyes it, vatova, if he weaves it, if he spins it into thread, shiuroi kemeloi roichav hisit kofel. A sit is the amount of space as a person who opens up his fingers, the amount of space between his index finger and his middle finger, that's called a sit. And twice that length is called a sit kofel, is the width of a sit kofel. And somebody who takes that amount of wool and does any of these melachas is chayev. V'ho'irig, and for weaving, how much does a person have to weave in order to be chayev? Shtei chutim, somebody who weaves two strings together, two threads together, shiuroi, the shiur is the same. Kemeloi roichav hisit kofel. And the truth is that the reason that melabein, menapeitz, tzevea, and tova, the shiur is kemeloi roichav hasit kofel, the real truth is that this shiur, this measurement of twice the distance between the middle finger and the index finger, applies to tvia, to spinning. To spin that amount of thread is called a significant melocha, and therefore chayiv on Shabbos. But whitening or disentangling or dyeing should not really have to do with this shiur. Says the Gemara, Alma, from the fact that it does have the same shiur, we see that kiven de le tvia koi, since this wool is going to be spun, shiuro ketovi, it has the same halochas, the same, what the deciding factor, the amount that makes it significant, is the amount that will make the spinning significant. And since the spinning is significant with a shiur of kemaloi roichav hasit kofel, so too melabein, menapeitz, and tzevea has the same shiur. Hochanami, so too here. Kiven de la ovdoi koi, since this oyer, this skin, is going to be tanned, shiurei kum ubod, then the amount of untanned skin has the same significance as the tanned skin, because potentially he could tan it and he is planning to tan it, and therefore the shiur is the same. V'shaloi le'abdoi bekamo. What happens if he carries out this skin, this oir, and he has no intentions of tanning it? Omar le'iloishno. It makes no difference. Even untanned oir, which is not going to be tanned, the shiur is the same, that if it's the size that he could write on it an amulet, he's chayiv if he carries it. Now the Gemara says to Rav Nachman, v'loishoni bein me'ubod l'sheinei me'ubod. Are you saying that there's no difference between oir that's been tanned and oir that's not been tanned? Esvei, we're going to ask a question, and the Gemara is now going to ask five questions on Rav Nachman. The first one is as follows. Hamoitzi samonin shrim. If somebody carries on Shabbos herbs that are being soaked in water, and these are types of ingredients, so they're used to make color from it, and they would use these dyes, kedei litzvoya behen dugma, and they would use it to dye wool, and this wool would be used as a dugma, as a sample, to show people the available colors that they can get the wool dyed in. So if somebody carries enough of these dye, of these herbs that have been soaked in water, ready to be used as dye, and he carries enough that could be used for a piece of wool that could be big enough to serve as a sample, then he's going to be chayev. And the Gemara says that this sample, or this measurement, is le'ira, is the amount that's used in order to close a weaver's bobbin, one of the tools of the weavers, that they would use this amount of wool to close up this tool. Ve'ilu besamonim she'einon shruin, but these herbs, in the event that they have not yet been soaked and are not ready to be able to be used as dye, tanan we learnt in the Mishnah, klipe egoizim, the soft peels of nuts, or klipe remoinim, and the peels of pomegranates, sitis, or pua, and these are other different types of materials, or other types of plants, kedei litzvoya bohen beged cotton. If you carry them, and these are all used to make dyes, and if one carries enough that one can dye a beged cotton, lepi savcha, a piece of material which can be placed on top of a woman's hat, and this is a piece which is larger than the dugma, the sample we mentioned before, if you carry that amount, you're chayiv on Shabbos. So the Gemara means to ask that you see here that herbs that have already been processed and can already be used as dye, then the amount that is called significant to carry on Shabbos is a smaller amount, just as much as you need to dye these sample pieces of wool. However, if the herbs have not yet been soaked, then we don't say, since potentially they could be soaked, therefore the amount that makes it significant is the same. We say no, since it's not been, these herbs have not been soaked, they're not yet been turned into dye, then in order to be chayiv on Shabbos, the amount they have to carry needs to be much larger for it to be significant. And how big does it have to be? The size that they can eventually paint the beged cotton, the small piece of material that goes on top of the hat. So you see here that there is a difference between the herbs that have already been processed and those that have not been processed. So why should that be different to oil, to the skin that we mentioned before, to the leather, that even though it's not been tanned yet, it has the same shiur as if it had been tanned? And this seems to be contrary to what we learned here. Says the Gemara, no. Rav Nachman is going to answer, Ha itmar alo, did we not say, or did we not learn regarding these halachas of the herbs? Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabbe Baravua, Lefi she'ein odom teireach lishroi samonim letzvoya behen dugma le'ira. There's a fundamental difference between the oir, which is going to be used, the parchment that's going to be used to write an amulet on it, and these herbs. Because with the parchment, with the oir, that even if it's not been tanned, that little amount needed to write on it an amulet is significant enough that a person would actually tan this small amount in order to use it for an amulet. And therefore, it's got the same shiur as if it's been tanned. However, in the case of these dyes, a person would not soak these ingredients in... It's true that if you have the soaked, the samonim have already been soaked and have already been prepared for dye, then it's significant if it can paint a small piece of wool. L'dugma le'ira, as we saw before. But if a person has not yet prepared these dyes, a person would not go through the whole process of soaking and preparing these ingredients to make dye, would not do it if the amount of dye he's going to get is so small that all he can do is dye a dugma le'ira. A person would only go through the process if there's enough dye that can cover the beget cotton, the piece of cha, this piece of material which gets placed on top of a woman's hat, and therefore it's only that amount of unprepared herbs, of unprocessed herbs, that are significant enough that if you carry them on Shabbos, you'll be chayiv. Continues the Gemara now with a second question on Rav Nachman. And let's remember, Rav Nachman said that there's no difference between a piece of parchment, of oyer, of hide, that's been processed and one that's not been processed. They both have the same measurement, that if it's big enough to write on it an amulet, if you carry it on Shabbos, you'll be chayiv. Asks the Gemara, V'harei zir'oine gino, garden seeds, d'mekamid zir'inu, before they've actually been planted, and they are just seeds, t'nan we learnt in a Mishnah, zir'oine gino, pochois mika groigris, the amount of seeds that you have to carry on Shabbos to be chayev is a little bit less than the size of a groigris, a dried fig. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ben Beseira says, the amount of seeds you have to carry to be chayev on Shabbos, chamisho, five seeds. You carry five seeds, you're chayev. So that's all seeds that have not yet been planted. It's just little kernels, little seeds. V'ilu bosod zorinu, after they've already been planted, and now from each seed, a stalk, something's grown from it. How many of these grown fruits or vegetables do you have to carry to be chayev? Tanan we learned in a Mishnah. Zevel, fertilizer, v'choil hadak, and fine sand, kedei lezabil boy kelach shel kruv. You're chayev for carrying them if there's enough to fertilize a single stalk of kruv, of cabbage. Divi Rebbe Akiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. The Chachomim say, kedei lezabil, in order to fertilize, krisha, a single leek. So you see from here that when it comes to fertilizing, that if you fertilize something significant, you're chayiv on Shabbos. And how much is that? A single cabbage, a single stalk of cabbage, or a single leek. So if one single leek, one single cabbage is significant, why, when it hasn't been grown into cabbage, or it hasn't been grown into a leek, it's just a seed, why should you have to carry more than one seed to be chayev on Shabbos? So you see from here, there's a difference between if something's been processed already or not, whether it's just a seed and it's not yet developed into a vegetable, or whether it's a fully grown vegetable. And that should be the same as the oyer, as the hide that we're discussing here, that if it's not tanned, it should need a bigger shiur than if it is tanned. That's a second question on Rav Nachman. Answers the Gemara, Ha'itma Allah, Omer of Papa, Ha de Zariah. One has already been planted and it's grown, Ha de Loi Zariah. And here it's not yet been planted. One is a seed form and one is already a vegetable form. Lefisha ein odom teireach lahoitzi nimo achas lezariah. A person would not bother carrying a single seed on Shabbos in order, with the intentions of planting it. If a person wants to carry seeds in order to plant them, he takes five seeds, or a little bit less than a groigris. He doesn't take just one. However, once it's already been grown, it's a full cabbage, it's a full leek. So then it's already significant. A person would go out with it on Shabbos. But since a person would not go out with a single seed on Shabbos, therefore it's insignificant and he's not chayev. However, regarding the oyer that we're discussing here, a person would go into the trouble of tanning a small piece of oyer, even if it's just the size that he can use it to write an amulet, and therefore he's chayev there, even if it's not tanned. Continues the Gemara, a third question. The Harei Tit, regarding clay, de mikame de le gable, before he's kneaded the clay. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, moidim chachomim l'Rav Shimon, b'moitzi shoifchin l'shus harabim, shashi'uron b'ravies. We saw that the Chachomim agreed to Rav Shimon that if somebody carries wastewater on Shabbos, that even if he didn't hide it and he didn't show any particular chashivas to it, the shiur is a whole ravias. Vavinon bo, and when discussing this, we saw that shoivchin amai chozi, what's this wastewater significant? What's it good for? Va'omer bir mi legabel b'enes atit. They can use the wastewater in order to knead the clay. So you see here that what's a significant amount of water is a ravias. And the ravias is, that means when you knead clay with a ravias of water, that's a significant amount of clay. And therefore the amount of water needed to knead this clay is a ravias. That's what you have to carry on Shabbos to be chayev. Ve'ilu bosor de govle, tit, after it's been already been processed and already been kneaded, tani we learnt in the braisa, Ktit kadei lasis ben pikur, that the amount of clay you carry on Shabbos and your chayev is the amount you need pikur for the mouth of the crucible, and it's discussed in a previous sugya, and it's much, much less than the amount you need to the amount of clay that you would have if you need it with a ravias of water. So here again, if you say that once it's already been kneaded, it's enough. Then, in order to make the pikur, as we discussed, then even when it's not yet been kneaded, then this amount of tit should also be choshev, should also be significant, and therefore the amount of water needed for this little amount of tit should also be choshev. Why then do you have to have a whole ravias to be called a significant carrying and not just a little bit of water? According to Rav Nachman, who says that untanned hide and tanned hide has the same shiur, says the Gemara, no. Hosam nami kada omron, and we've seen this before in the Gemara, lefishein odem tereach legabel esatit lasis by pikur. There's a difference. A person would not go out of his way, and it wouldn't go to the bother of making tit, which is that small. And therefore, the water that would be needed to make this tit, to knead this clay, if it's that little bit, it's insignificant. And a person would only go into the bother of kneading clay if it's at least as much as would be made with a ravias of water. However, once you have the clay, and this clay is now usable, then a person would go out of his way and use and give significance, even just a little bit, to the amount needed for the pikur, for the mouth of the crucible. So there's a fundamental difference between unprocessed clay and processed clay. But in contrast to that, regarding the hide, the oyer, where a person would give the same significance to untanned oyer as to tanned oyer, the same way tanned oyer is significant that he can write an amulet on it, untanned oyer, a person would go to the bother of tanning it if it would then be available to be used for an amulet. Toshima, the fourth question the Gemara is going to ask. Besides for the oyer mentioned in the Mishnah, which is kadei lasis kmiya, which is a properly tanned oyer hide, there's another three stages. The tanning stages normally included three different stages, three different processes. First, it was soaked in salt. Then it was soaked in a mixture of flour and water. Then it was soaked in some mixture, or they applied some mixture with gallnuts. And then that would be the end of the tanning process. And if the different levels, the different stages of the hide that have not been fully processed, there are three stages. One is called matzah, one is called chifa, and one is called diftara. And the Raisa explains, matzah, what's the stage of matzah? Kamashmoy, what the literal translation is, that matzah, what is matzah? Matzah is something which is plain, there's nothing been added to it. Deloy maliach, it hasn't been salted, veloy kamiach, and the flour and water has not been applied to it, or deloy apits, nor have the gallnuts been applied to it, nothing's been done with it. V'kamo shi'uroi, this untanned hide, untanned skin, how much do you have to carry in order that it should be significant and chayev on Shabbos? Tani Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, k'dei lotzur boi mishkoiles ktano, in order to coat it, to coat with it a small weight. V'kama, how small does this weight have to be? And it's actually the smallest weight that was available at the time. Omer Abaya, riva, it's called a quarter. A riva litra, the riva de Pumpadisa, is the quarters used in Pumpadisa. Chifa, what is the skin that's called chifa? What is that? De maliach, it has been salted already. V'loi kamiach, v'loi otzit, but it's not been, the flour and water has not been applied to it, nor have the gall nuts been applied to it. V'kamo shi'uroi, how much do you have to carry of this chifa in order to be chayev on Shabbos? K'detnan, we saw in the Mishnah, k'dei la'asos kamia. And that's our Mishnah. He's saying it's the Shi'ur. Now he's saying that our Mishnah is referring to the oil that was chippa. And the Shi'ur is as much as you need to make an amulet. Well, I said before that the Mishnah, that these three are besides what it says in the Mishnah. I made a mistake. I didn't mean oil kadelasis kamiya. These three are besides what it says klaf. The klaf, which is the parchment mentioned in the Mishnah, that is a fully tanned piece of hide, fully tanned, with the whole process has been done. Besides for klaf, there's another three. There's matzah, there's chippah, and there's diftara. The chippah is what the Mishnah says, oyer kadei lasis kamiya. Diftara. What is diftara? De maliach v'kamiach. It has been salted, and the flour and water has been put on it. V'loi opitz, but the gall nuts have not yet been applied to it. V'kamosh yuroi, how much do you have to carry of diftara in order to be chayiv on Shabbos? K'dei lichto olov es aget, it needs to be a much bigger shiur, it needs to be the size that you can write on it, a bill of divorce, a get, and there's a minimum amount of lines and space you need on a piece of parchment, a piece of leather, to be able to write a get. K'tonimius, but what do you see here? After all this whole brisa, k'dei lotzur boy mishkoilo is ktano. That's a piece of oil that's not been tanned at all, which is called matzah. What's the shiur? The shiur is kadei lotzur boy mishkoilo is ktano, in order to wrap a very small weight to protect it, so it shouldn't get ruined. And according to Rav Nachman, v'omar Abaya, and Abaya said riva, the riva de Pumpadisa. As we saw before, it's the quarter used in Pumpadisa. And according to Rav Nachman, oil which has not been tanned has the same shiur as oil that has been tanned. Oil that has been tanned, we said, is kadei lasis kamia. So if so, and that we said was talking about the chippa. And according to Rav Nachman, the matzah should have the same shiur as the chippa, and it's clearly not. Says the Gemara, hosam babishula. There's two different types of matzah. There's the skin as it's been immediately after it was taken off the animal, and it's still damp and moist, and you cannot tan it. Since it's not able to be tanned at this point, it's only called a significant carrying if it can cover such a small weight. However, once it's been dried out, and it's now ready and it's able to be tanned, even though nothing's been done to it yet, it now has the shiur, as for the same shiur of kadei lasis kamia, that if you can write an amulet on it, it's already significant. Says the Gemara, Votnan, this is the fifth and final question on Rav Nachman, Habeged Sholosh al Sholosh. Three tvachim by three tvachim of material, lemedrus. That if somebody who is a Zov, who goes onto this piece of material, is Tomei Tomas Medrus. He tramples on it. Hasak, if it's sackcloth, Dalad al Dalad, it needs to be even bigger. It has to be four tvachim by four tvachim. Ha'oir, skin, hide, chamisho al chamisho. It has to be five tfochim by five tfochim. And this is where we're going to ask a question. Why is this oyer only called significant if it's five tfochim al five tfochim? We'll get to that in a moment. Mapatz, if it's a mat made of reed, vov al vov. It's six tfochim by six tfochim. Bein le medrus, bein le mace. And these shurim apply both to Tumas Medrus, if a Zov or some of the other Tumeim trample on it. It's a very serious tumah of tumas medras. All the mace, these are the sizes of these materials. If they touch a dead person, they will become tummy. But Tanya Alon, we learnt about this. Habeged v'asak v'ha'oyer k'shiur l'tumah k'ach shiur l'hitzah. That the amount that these materials have to become tomei is a sign that they are significant, and that's the size you have to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayev. So you see that the shiur l'hitzah of oyer is 5 tfachim al 5 tfachim, and we would assume that it's talking about untanned skins, because tanned skinned, we said, is kedei la'asis kamiya. And if it's untanned skin, according to Yur of Nachman, even untanned skin, untanned hide, has the same shiur as tanned hide. So how are you going to understand this? Answers the Gemara. Hahu b'kur tuvla. This is talking about with skin that's been hard, it's been boiled, and it's become very, very hard, and it's used for sitting on, or for covering furniture with it, for beds or tables, and therefore it's not able to be tanned, and it can only be used the way it is like this, and in order for it to be significant, it has to be big enough, it has to be 5 tvachim by 5 tvachim. But type of hide that's not been boiled and has not become hardened, and it can be used to be tanned, and then to be used for an amulet, even a small amount, is significant, and has the same shiur, irrespective of whether it's actually been tanned or not. Continues the Gemara. Klaf kedei lichtoiv olov parasha ktana. We saw in the Mishnah that parchment is only called significant if one can write on it a small parasha. Which parasha, says the Mishnah? Parasha ktano shebetfilin, the smallest of the four parashiyos of the tefillin. The tefillin had four parashiyos, Shema, that's Shema with Vahavta. The second parasha is Vahoyim Shemaya. The third one is Kaddish, Kaddish Likol Bachir. And the fourth one is Vahoyoki of Yacho. And the smallest of them is the parasha of Shema, which is from Shema Tilu Visharecho. And if a piece of parchment is big enough that you can write the small parasha of the tefillin on it, it's called significant, and carrying such a piece of parchment will be chayiv on Shabbos. Uraminu asks the Gemara, Klaf v'duchsustus kedei lichtoiv olov mezuzah. It's explicit in the Braisa that klaf and duchsustus, we'll explain that in a minute, he's chayev if he carries it, if it's big enough, kedei lichtoiv olov mezuzah. And mezuzah is two parashiyos of tefillin. It's the Shema Til Uvisharecha and V'hoyoyim Shamaya. So it's much more. It has to be much bigger than the shiur, than the measure we mentioned in the Mishnah, to be chayiv on Shabbos. And in order to understand this, and to understand till the end of the Omud, we have to understand as follows. The piece of hide, piece of animal skin, is called gvil. This gvil has two sides. It has the side that's closer to the flesh, and there's the outer side, which is where the hair grows. What they would do is, the gvil would normally not be used, or at least for tefillin and mezuzahs, they would not be used in its original gvil state. They would either use the upper layer, the outer layer, which is the layer which is where the hair grows from, and they would get to that upper layer by rubbing away the whole bottom layer, or they would use the bottom layer, the part closer to the flesh, and they would do that by rubbing away the entire upper surface, the upper layer. Now, each part of these, the outer layer is called klaf. The inner layer is called duchsustus. Now, each one of these has a side that was initially facing the outside, and there's the side that's facing the flesh. So the klaf itself, which is the outer layer of the skin, there's the part which is the outer layer of the klaf, which is where the hair was actually growing, and there's the inner layer of the klaf, even though there's the inner surface of the klaf, which means even though the klaf itself is the outer layer of the skin, but it's the inside of that layer of skin. Duchsustus. Also, it has the outer layer, even though the whole duchsustus is the inner layer of the skin, but the outer surface is one surface, and the surface which is where the flesh is the inner surface of the duchsustus. And that information is going to be important soon. So there's klaf, there's duchsustus, the cloth is the outer layer of the skin, duchsustus is the inner layer of the skin, and gvil is the term used for the whole skin that's not been separated into layers. So this braisa we just now said that either cloth or duchsustus, when you carry either of them on Shabbos, it's got to be a significant amount of cloth or duchsustus, and that is that you can write on it mezuzah, which we said is two parashiyos. And this seems to contradict our Mishnah that says that cloth is already called significant if you can write a single parasha of the tefillin, not like the mezuzah. Now the halach is that, and that's how we're going to learn till almost the end of the sugya, that tefillin is ideally written on cloth. Mezuzah has to be written on duchsustus. So the fact that it says duchsustus is kadei lichtei levalav mezuzah makes sense, because you don't write tefillin on duchsustus, you only write mezuzah on duchsustus, and therefore the duchsustus will only be significant if you can write on it mezuzah, which is two parashiyos. Klaf, however, is used to write the parashiyos of tefillin, and that's where we have a contradiction. In the Mishnah it says that klaf is significant if you can write a small parasha of tefillin, and in this braisa it says that klaf is only significant if you can write on it mezuzah, which is two parashiyos. Says the Gemara, the answer is as follows: my mezuzah, when the braisa says that the klaf, the second braisa says that the klaf is only significant if you can write on it mezuzah, what does that mean? It means mezuzah shebet tefillin. The word mezuzah doesn't mean the amount of text that's regularly written in a mezuzah, which is two parashiyos. The word mezuzah can also mean a scroll, an igeres, says Rashi. And it's referring to the smallest scroll that's put into the tefillin, and that works, and it's exactly the same as what it says in our Mishnah, that klaf is called significant when you can write on it the smallest parasha of the tefillin. Asks the Gemara, the Kori Luhu Letfilin Mezuzah? We just now explained that the braisa that says Klaf Duchsustus Kadei Lichtei Valav Mezuzah, it means tefillin, it means a scroll in the tefillin. Do we ever refer to tefillin, or the parashiyos in the tefillin, we refer to them as mezuzah? Says the Gemara in, yes, Vatanya, and we'll find proof to this in a braisa. Rutsuois tefillin ima tefillin. Metamois es hayudaim. And to understand this, we have to refer back to a Gemara we saw on Daf Yud Daled. On Daf Yud Daled, we saw that the Chachomim made a gezeira that 18 different things, there's 18 gezeiros of Tuma regarding Truma. And we said that one of them was Kisvei Kodesh, to touch a Sefer Torah, or the klaf, the parchment of Kisvei Kodesh. If you touch it, then the Yudayim, the hands, become Tomei, and if you touch Truma before doing the Tilas Yudayim, then the Truma is not allowed to be eaten. And the question is, that's all very good if you're touching the parchment themselves, the parashiyos themselves. What happens if you don't touch the parashiyos, you touch the boxes, the leather boxes, the bottom of the tefillin? Is that also going to make the hands Tomei, Midrabonon? And what about the tzuos, the straps? Are they also going to make the hands Tomei? Is there a difference whether the straps are attached to the boxes, to the batim, or not? And that's the discussion of this braisa. Ritzuois tefillin im hatfillin. All the while that the ritzuois, the straps, are attached to the tefillin, metameis hayudaim, even touching the ritzuois will render the hands as Tomei midrabonon regarding truma. Bifnei atzmon, if the straps are on their own, not attached to the batim, Ein Matami says Hayudaim, the only reason that the batim themselves and the ritzuos should be Tomei is because they are serving the parashiyos of the tefillin. But when the straps are not attached to the batim, there's no reason that it should be Matami says Hayudaim. That's the Tanakama. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Shimon Hanogea b'ritzua tohir. Even if you touch the ritzuos whilst they're still on the batim, they're also, the hands will be tohir. The hands will only become Tomei when you actually touch the batim, the leather boxes holding the parashiyos. Rav Zakkai Mishmoy, the Rav Zakkai says in the name of Rav Shimon, contrary to what Rav Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rav Shimon, Mishmoy Oimer, tohir ad sheyiga b'mezuzah atzmoi. The hands will stay tohir until you touch the actual parashiyos. And we're talking about tefillin. And how does the Braisa call the parashiyos of the tefillin? Mezuzah, b'mezuzah atzmo. So you see that the parashiyos of tefillin can be called mezuzah, referring to a scroll. The Ritva says that the reason that the tefillin, the scrolls of the tefillin, are called mezuzah is in the same way as a mezuzah is rolled up and placed in its position near the door, so too the parashiyos of the tefillin are rolled up and put into the batim. Continues the Gemara. V'ha midik ton yisefa, the very braisa that we started with, klaf v'duchsustus kadei lichtei v'lov mezuzah, there's a continuation to that braisa. What does it say there? Klaf kadei lichtei v'olov, parashok tanosha betfilin, shishma Yisrael. It seems to be saying the same as our Mishnah, that klaf is significant, and if you carry on Shabbos, yochayev, if it's big enough for a small parasha of the tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. And the fact that the same braisa uses a different term, in the Reisha it says kedei lichtoi olav mezuzah, and in the Sefer it says kedei lichtoi olav parasha ktano shebetfilin, then it would be quite clear that then they don't mean the same thing. So till now we thought the ratio that says mezuzah, it means mezuzah of the tefillin. But that wouldn't make sense, because why is the braisa changing its terminology in the sefer and explicitly saying parashiktano shebetfilin? Michlal de ratio be mezuzah atzmo skinon. So it's clear that the ratio, the beginning part of the braisa, is not talking about the mezuzah of the tefillin, it's talking about the mezuzah itself, which is two parashiyos. And then we have a contradiction within the same braisa, that in the ratio of the braisa it says that klaf and duchsustus is kedei lichtei olav mezuzah, which is two parashiyos, and in the sefer talking about the klaf, it says that even one parasha, the parasha ketana shebetfilin, is already significant. There's a contradiction between the ratio and the sefer regarding klaf. Says the Gemara Hochik Toni, this is how you have to read that braisa, and this is where It's a new pshat in the braisa. Klaf v'duchsustus shi'uron bekamo. As if the braisa is asking a question. Carrying klaf or duchsustus, the two different layers of the skin, how much is called significant when you carry on Shabbos? Duchsustus, and only referring to duchsustus in the ratio of the braisa, k'dei lichtei olav mezuzah. Since a mezuzah was typically written on duchsustus, and it had to be written on duchsustus, therefore what makes duchsustus significant is mezuzah, if it's large enough for two parashiyos. Klaf, and this is coming now to the sefer of the braisa, that how big does klaf have to be significant? K'dei lichtev olav parashok tanosha betfilin, shehi shema Yisrael. Since tfilin are written on klaf, therefore what makes klaf significant is that you can write the smallest parasha of tfilin on it, which is just the one parasha of shema Yisrael. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav. And from here till the end of the Omad, we're going to be discussing this opinion of Rav. Rav says as follows. Duchsustus harei hi keklaf. And we're going to see later that what Rav really said was that duchsustus and klaf have similarities. Rav did not explicitly make himself clear, are we comparing duchsustus to klaf, or are we comparing klaf to duchsustus? At this point in the Gemara assumes that what Rav meant was as follows. Ma klaf. That means we're comparing duchsustus to klaf. In the same way as klaf, koysun olav tefillin, we know that, ideally, tefillin are written on klaf. In the same way as tefillin are kosher, if they're written on klaf, af duchsustus koysun olav tefillin, Rav comes with a chiddush, and he says that if you write tefillin on the duchsustus, on the inner layer of the skin, they are also kosher. And the Gemara is now going to ask four questions on Rav. The first one as follows. Tanan, we've learnt in the Mishnah, klaf kedei lichtoiv parashok tano shebetfilin shishma Yisrael. Our Mishnah says that klaf, referring to parchment, is called significant to carry on Shabbos if it's just small enough that it can carry one parasha, the smallest parasha of tefillin. From the fact that the Mishnah only speaks about klaf and does not speak about duchsustus, klaf in duchsustus loy, it would seem that duchsustus, it's not sufficient if you can just write a single parasha of tefillin on it. It would need to be big enough that you can write on it two parashiyos, the parashiyos of the mezuzah. And it's not like Rav. According to Rav, that says that you are allowed to write tefillin on Duchsustus, then even Duchsustus should be called significant if you can just write the small parasha of tefillin, which is one parasha. Why then does it seem that you're only chayev for carrying Duchsustus if you can write two parashas of the mezuzah in it? Answers the Gemara, l'mitzvah. L'katchila, one should write tefillin on klaf and mezuzah on Duchsustus. And therefore, when people would carry klaf, it would be significant only, we assume that they're carrying it for tefillin. Duchsustus, since everybody and the correct thing is only to use it for mezuzah, therefore it's only significant if you can write mezuzah on it. Even though, b'di'eved, if you write tefillin on duchsustus, it's kosher, that wouldn't give it significance. The second question. Toshma, we learned in a brisa. Halacha l'moishe misinai, tefillin ala klaf, u'mezuzah al duchsustus. Tefillin, as we've said till now, should be written on the klaf, and mezuzah should be written on the duchsustus. Klaf b'mokim bosor. When writing on the klaf, which is the outer layer of the skin, one should write on the mokim abosor, which is the inner part of the klaf. Duchsustus, when writing on the inner layer of the skin, b'mokim seir, one should write on the outer surface of it. That means both klaf and duchsustus, when writing on it, one writes what we call in the mokim hachetech, where the cut is between the two layers of the skin. That's the best way to write. It's the easiest way to write. And that was the halacha l'moishe misinai, that when writing on the klaf, one writes on the inner part of the klaf, and when writing on the duchsustus, one writes on the outer part of the duchsustus. So what do we see from there? Halacha l'moishe misinai, tefillin on klaf, and mezuzah on duchsustus. And Rav says that you can write tefillin on duchsustus as well. Says the Gemara, l'mitzvah. The Gemara answers that that's only l'katchila. L'katchila, to do the mitzvah in the most preferable way, write tefillin on klaf. If you wrote tefillin on duchsustus, it's also kosher. And in this whole sugya, it's clear that writing mezuzah on klaf will be posel. Rav just said that writing tefillin on duchsustus will also be kosher, b'di'evit. Continues the Gemara with a third question. V'otani, we learnt in a brisa, shino posel. We've just said now, Halacha l'moishe misinai, tefillin are written on klaf, and mezuzah is written on duchsustus. And we said, okay, that's l'katchila. But b'di'eved, you can write tefillin on duchsustus. But now we see in the braisa, shino, if you change, if you switch between the two, posel. And that would seem to be that if you change and you write mezuzah on klaf or tefillin on duchsustus, it's posel, not like Rav. Says the Gemara mezuzah. That braisa is only talking about mezuzah. If you write mezuzah instead of on duchsustus, you write it on klaf, it will be posel. But if you write tefillin on duchsustus, it will still be kosher. Ask the Gemara the fourth question. And the fourth and final question. V'otani, we learnt in a braisa, shino b'zeh u'b'zeh posel. If you changed two, if you made this change or that change, it's posel. And we assume that to mean, if you changed and you wrote the mezuzah on klaf, it's posel, and that's so far not a discussion. And if you changed tefillin and you wrote it on duchsustus, it's posel, and that's explicitly not like Rav. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to offer three explanations of this braisa, shino b'zeh u'b'zeh posel, that it should not contradict Rav, who says that writing tefillin on duchsustus will be kosher. The first answer is idi v'idi amezuzah. Surprisingly enough, it's possible to have shino b'zeh u'b'zeh, two changes, both of them referring to mezuzah, and both of them being posel. That means changing tefillin and writing on duchsustus, that will be kosher. But there are two types of changes of mezuzah that are posel. Number one, v'hod kosvinu aklaf b'mokim seir. If you write mezuzah on klaf, which we said is you're not allowed to, and the Gemara adds in, this is even if you write it on the outer surface of the klaf. Normally we write the tefillin on the inner surface of the klaf, but we know that mezuzah is written on duchsustus, and on duchsustus it has to be written on the outer surface of the duchsustus. Here the Gemara says, if you write mezuzah on klaf, it's possible, even if you write it on the outer surface of the klaf, so there's somewhat similarity to writing it on duchsustus. But nonetheless, since it's written on klaf, not on duchsustus, it's posel. That's the first psul of mezuzah. Inami, the second psul is aduchsustus. Even if you write the mezuzah on duchsustus, which is where you should write it, but you write it b'mokim boson, instead of writing it on the outer layer, the outer surface of duchsustus, and you write it on the inner surface of duchsustus, that's also going to be posel. So you have two psulim, two changes of that braisa, both with mezuzah, and hence we don't have a contradiction to Rav, who says that writing tefillin on duchsustus is kosher. V'ibois eimer, another suggestion to explain this braisa, shino bezeh u bezeh tanoihi, that this, the braisa that says shino bezeh u bezeh, it's not so difficult on Rav, because it's a machlekes tanoim, and once you have a machlekes tanoim, Rav is allowed to follow a different tano. The tanya we learnt in the braisa, shino bezeh u bezeh posel. If you write tefillin on duchsustus, or if you write mezuzah on klaf, it's posel. Reb Acha machshir, mishum Reb Achi bar Chanina. Va'omri lo mishum Reb Yaakov bar Chanina. Reb Acha said, in the name of either Reb Achi or in the name of Reb Yaakov, he was machshir. And what does it mean, machshir? He held it was kosher to write tefillin even on duchsustus. And Rav is following this Rav Acha, and therefore the braisa that says shino bezeh u bezeh posel is the Tanakama, and Rav is holding of Rav Acha. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says a similar explanation. He says Rav is following a different Tana. Rav de Omar katana de Bei Menashe, like the base medrash of Menashe, the Tana de Bei Menashe. Kosvo, there was a braisa as follows: Kosvo al niyar, if you write it on paper made of grasses, v'ala matlis, on cloth, psula, then the tefillin is posel. Ala klaf, or the tefillin, or we don't yet know, it's posel. Ala klaf, v'ala gvil, v'ala duchsustus, if you write either on the klaf, which is the outer layer of the skin, or on the gvil, which is on skin that's not been cut bichlal, v'al duchsustus, or on the inner layer of the skin, if you're writing on any of those, kshero, it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Kosvo mai, what are we talking about? What did you write that writing on klaf gvil or duchsustus will be kosher? Ilei me mezuzah, could it be referring to mezuzah? Of course not. Mezuzah a klaf mikosvinon. Until now in the sugya, we've taken it for granted that everybody agrees that writing mezuzah on klaf is posel. So this braisa of the Bei Menashe cannot be talking about writing mezuzah. Elola v'atfilin. It must be talking about writing tefillin. And what does it say? Writing tefillin on klaf or gvil or duchsustus is kosher. So Rav is following this Tana that says that writing tefillin, even on duchsustus, is kosher. But the Gemara refutes this, what Rav Papa says, because it asks as follows, you Rav Papa want to say that Rav is following the Tana de Bei Menashe, and even though the Tana de Bei Menashe didn't tell us explicitly what they're talking about, you assume it's talking about tefillin because it cannot be talking about mezuzah. Well, I'll ask a question on that. Tefillin agvil mikosvinon. The Tana de Bei Menashe says you can write on three things: gvil, klaf, and duchsustus. So it's okay, according to Rav, to say that writing tefillin is kosher on gvil and duchsustus. What about the gvil? Even Rav agrees you cannot write tefillin on gvil. Elo ki tanya hi b'sefer Torah. It must be the Tana de Bei Menashe are discussing Sefer Torah, that Sefer Torah can be written on either klaf or gvil or duchsustus, but it's not talking about tefillin, and therefore this would not serve Rav in any way. But either way, we've answered the questions on Rav. Now the Gemara is saying, Leima Masayeh Le. We're going to try and bring proof to Rav. Kiyetzaboy, and this is a sugya in Menachos, and the Gemara says in Menachos that, similar to some other halachas that are learnt there, Tfilin Shebolu. Tfilin, the parishes of Tfilin that have become rubbed down. The Sefer Torah Shebolo, or a Sefer Torah that's become a little bit rubbed down, Ein Oisin Ben Mezuzah. For example, take the parashas of Tfilin, and in the case of Tfilin Shalyad, all the parashas of Tfilin are written one after the next. And if part of it became rubbed away, are you allowed to cut away the part that's used for mezuzah, which is the first two parashas of Tfilin, and use it for mezuzah? And so to a Sefer Torah, if you cannot use the Sefer Torah anymore, are you allowed to cut away the parashas of the mezuzah in the Sefer Torah and use them for mezuzah? So it says there in the Gemara that tefillin or sefer Torah are more kodosh than mezuzah, and therefore they are not allowed to be downgraded and used for mezuzah. Lefisha'in may read in mekdusha chamura lekdusha kala. We do not downgrade a more severe type of kedusha to a more lenient or weaker type of kedusha. Says the Gemara, Tama de'in meridin. You explained yourself very well. The reason you cannot use the parashas of tefillin for mezuzah is because ein meridin. Ha meridin, in the event, for argument's sake, that one would be allowed to go from a more stringent type of kedusha to a lesser type of kedusha, oisin, then you would be able to use the parashas of the tefillin for mezuzah. Diksiva amai. Let's try and understand, what were these tefillin written on? Lav, it must be diksiva adachsustus, because mezuzah cannot be written on klaf. And if you're contemplating using this for mezuzah, it must have been written on duchsustos. So you see that tefillin themselves were written on duchsustos. And there's a discussion, can you then use the parashas of tefillin for mezuzah? So this is a proof to Rav that tefillin can be written on duchsustos. Says the Gemara, loy, dechsiva ala klaf. We're talking about that the tefillin were written on the klaf, as they really should be. Ask the Gemara, if so, what's the discussion of using the parashas of tefillin for mezuzah? Mezuzah aklaf mikosvinon. If it's written on klaf, they're possible for mezuzah. Says the Gemara in. And here, this is the game changer. At this point, the Gemara says that there's somebody who holds that even mezuzah that's written on klaf is kosher. Votanya, I'll bring you proof to that. It says in the Braisa, kosvo ala klaf, Valanyor valamatlis. If you write either on klaf or on nyar on paper or on matlis or on cloth, psula, it's possible. Om Reb Shimon ben Eloza, Reb Meir hoya koisva ala klaf, b'pnei shemishtameres. Reb Meir would write on the klaf because it would be more preserved, it would be better to write it on klaf. And here we're talking about mezuzah. That mezuzah cannot be written, according to Tanakama, mezuzah cannot be written on klaf. On nyar and matlis, it's taken for granted it cannot be written, but even on klaf, as we've seen all along, mezuzah has to be written on duchsustos. But however, Reb Shimon ben Eloza says that Reb Meir used to write mezuzah on klaf because it would be preserved better that way. So you see here that there's an opinion of Reb Meir that says explicitly that you can write mezuzah even on klaf. And therefore, there's no proof from the Gemara Menachos that we saw that you can downgrade tefillin to mezuzah in the event that there's no halacha of malin b'kodesh ve'ein meridin, and the tefillin was written on klaf, and mezuzah is also kosher on klaf. Says the Gemara, now that you are prepared to accept that there's opinion that says that you're allowed to even write mezuzah on klaf, Hashtados is lahachi l'Rav Nami. Let's go back to Rav. What did we say? Rav just said that duchsustos and klaf are similar, and the Gemara took it for granted that what Rav was saying was that tefillin are kosher on duchsustos like they're kosher on klaf. So now we're saying no. Maybe what Rav meant is l'Rav Nami loy tema duchsustos hareu keklaf. Don't say that writing tefillin on duchsustos is kosher just like writing tefillin on klaf. No, Eloema say that klaf hareu duchsustos, that writing a mezuzah on klaf is kosher like writing mezuzah on duchsustos. Ma duchsustos koisun alav mezuzah, af klaf koisun alav mezuzah. So too, one according to Rav, the Gemara is suggesting, maybe Rav holds, one's allowed to write mezuzah on klaf, and then one would not be allowed to write tefillin on duchsustos. And if you look in Tosfos will explain how to go through the four questions we had on Rav, how to understand all those sources based on this new understanding of Rav. And Yemirtz Hashem, in the next year, we'll continue from here.